story, science, and simplicity, writing for the non-specialist audience. Welcome to the sixth installment of the Faculty Workshop series on Becoming a Better Writer. My name is Roger Graves. I'm the Director of Writing Across the Curriculum, Associate Director at the Center for Teaching and Learning, and a professor in English and Film Studies at the University of Alberta. We started this series by looking at academic writing style, and then as a subset of that, we looked at the plain style, writing for non-technical audiences. We then moved on to look at other aspects of genres of writing and how you would apply these styles to the different genres, depending on the documents that you're writing. As the culmination of all this, we're trying to look in now or pull these lessons about style and genre together into some thoughts about how you can write for non-specialist audiences. And we'll look specifically at this website called The Conversation and take a look at how do they structure some of the articles they have there. We'll look at one in particular on the coronavirus and how they're talking about the research that they're doing in a lab and how they put that into the context of a story. And the reason that they do that is to make it more engaging and to get people to understand better what they're doing. So the challenge for you is, how do you adapt or adopt some of those strategies when you're trying to write for that kind of publication? In the first part of this podcast, I'll talk a little bit about some of those aspects of style that we've gone over in the first few ones. If you want to look at those podcasts and those slides, you can find them on wecanwrite.ca. The first one's called Styles of Academic Writing. There's another one called The Plain or Low Style. And then there's some blog entries, too, that I wrote about style. You'll find all of that stuff either on the blog or on the podcast link at wecanwrite.ca. In the second part of this podcast, I want to talk or focus more specifically on narrative and story and how you can use those techniques in your writing. So let's begin by briefly reviewing plain language guidelines. What does it mean to write in a way that a wide variety or wide readership in society can follow what you're saying? Plain language involves an ethical relationship between the reader and the writer. And what that means is you're trying to build trust with them. You want them to understand what it is you're saying. And so you're not trying to mislead them in any way. Second, writers want to communicate clearly with your readers. So that's really follows from the first point. The third one is this: you want to take your reader's point of view. That can be tricky because you really got to think it through and say, what are they thinking? What do they understand? How are they going to come to my topic, my research? How can they understand it? What does it look like from their point of view? And finally, as a consequence of that last point, you want to organize your ideas around what your reader needs to know. So what is it they need to know? What are they going to try to take away from reading your piece? All of that sort of presumes that you know some things about your readers. You know how much they know, what their cultural background is. And we'll see later on in the podcast a reference to a baseball situation as a metaphor. Do they understand baseball? Do they understand what it means to be in the ninth inning? You want to ask yourself, what questions are they asking about the topic that you're writing about? And then you want to sort of structure your text in order to answer those questions that you know they're going to have. So one technique for doing that is in one paragraph, at the end of the paragraph, talk about how you're going to organize the next series of paragraphs. So one paragraph in the slides ends this way: responsibility to care ethics differs from other more traditional notions of responsibility in five major ways. And then the next five paragraphs are first this, second this, third this, and so on. Signaling, or sometimes it's called signposting, the organization of your document is extremely useful for your readers. At the sentence level, plain language involves these things. Number one, be concise. Number two, vary your sentence length and sentence structure. So highlight your sentences, go to the tools in Google Docs or Word, and look and see how long your sentences are. Use parallel structures. I'll give an example of this in a minute, especially in lists. Put your readers into your sentences. So perhaps you want to directly address them as you. Number five, begin most paragraphs with topic sentences, so signal what's coming. If they can see what's coming, that's going to really, really help them understand what you're trying to say. And finally, use transitions to link ideas so they can see how one thing relates to the next thing. When we talk about keeping sentences short, we mean 25 words or less. Try to keep it to that. Use that as a rule of thumb. Really aim for 15 to 22 words, something like that. And that may be two or three lines in a document, lines of type. paragraphs, you want to keep them short too. You'll see in the example from the conversation that we refer to later, the paragraphs are almost all two sentences long. And that is like so remarkably different than most academic writing that you really have to wrap your head around what is a two-sentence paragraph looking like. If you're looking at the slides, you'll see an example drawn from a methods section where all the sentences are like 17 words, 20 words, there's one of 32, 29, and then 18 and 9 words. And the 9-word sentence is, the students had 1 week to complete the assignment. So you can see it's that kind of thing that we're really trying to get down to. So how do you shorten a sentence? Well, the first thing to do is to include only one or two ideas in a sentence. Anytime you have a qualifier or a modifier that you're tempted to modify or explain, put that into a separate sentence. If you have conditions that are attached to that main idea, again, put a period in there, start a new sentence. Number 4, avoid using and to connect ideas that can be rewritten into separate sentences. So just do a search and replace. See, can you find the word and? When you see those ands, are those opportunities to end a sentence? In the slides, you'll see three or four more strategies for writing more concisely and shortening those sentences. Now we're going to work on part 2, storytelling, the narratives. The article we're going to be looking at here is called I Study Viruses, How Our Team Isolated the New Coronavirus to Fight the Global Pandemic. This is in a website called The Conversation. It was published on March 25th, 2020. If you have a minute, you might want to try to bring that up on a different screen so that you can see, or take a couple of minutes and read the story. It's not a very long story, maybe a couple of pages, 10 paragraphs, something like that. In the story, it has what I would call a traditional story arc. It begins with the exposition. It's called The Story of Me and My Group's Research into the Coronavirus. Then it moves on to the next section, which does essentially this. It says, we study viruses which are simple and complex, innocuous and murderous. So that sets the stage for the climax, the complicating factor, which is that Aaron J. Banerjee, using his special skills, helped isolate the virus. So that's the dramatic event, this thing that makes the story all hang together. At this part, we start the denouement, the working out of that climactic action, and they talk about how we have now copies to use of the virus to study and to find vaccines. And the final concluding action, they talk about how our team now has a chance to win against the virus. So let's look a little more specifically at how this all gets developed. The title of the story, I Study Viruses, that gives a setup. That introduces the characters, which is the I, who's the author of the story, and our team. And she'll introduce the members of the team as well. Then she introduces the rising action, and here's a quote. The emergence of a new coronavirus in a market in Wuhan, China, in December 2019 set in motion the pandemic we are now witnessing in 160 countries around the world. In just 3 months, the virus has infected more than 360,000 people and killed more than 16,000. In the next section of the article, there's what I would call an inciting incident, which is it sets off the search for the virus itself, how to map it. Then there's a complicating action, in which there's a bunch of logistical and legal barriers that prevent different researchers from being able to do that. And that leads to what I call the problem, which is that even in a pandemic, developing such a supply is not as easy as it might sound. And multiple teams in Canada have set out to isolate and develop pure cultures of the virus, not knowing which would be successful or when. And so there's the problem. This then leads to the climax of the story, which is, quote, ultimately, two teams in Canada would isolate the virus for study, one at the University of Saskatchewan and one that featured researcher from McMaster University, Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center, and the University of Toronto, unquote. Now, the researcher that's writing this article is at McMaster, so she's part of that second team. At this point, she then introduces the hero of our story, Anerjee Banerjee, a postdoc fellow at McMaster who typically works in my virology lab, as she puts it. For Banerjee, it was like a batter being called to the plate with the score tied in the bottom of the ninth. Well, as we talked about earlier, it's like, does your audience understand that sports metaphor? So she thinks she's writing to a Canadian audience that they're going to get that. But you really have to ask hard questions about that as to, by using those kind of metaphors, sometimes they work for you and expand your audience. Other times they cut people off from understanding what it is you're trying to communicate. The next section of the article contains the denouement, or the falling action. She says, we can use tricks to draw out a virus. She talks a little bit about what some of those tricks are. And then she says, culturing the virus on immunodeficient cells that would allow the virus to multiply unchecked. That's one of the tricks. And then she says, it worked. And then we get the conclusion. In the conclusion, she wraps it up and she says, both the Saskatchewan and Ontario teams are now able to make and share research samples with other Canadian scientists. So that's the resolution of the research story. It starts out with this problem. It has complications. There's a climactic action. Then there are some things that fall out from that. And finally, the resolution. So that's the kind of structure that they use. Certainly they used at the conversation for this research story. And when you're writing up your own research, you might think hard about how can you map your activities onto that kind of narrative. Now, there's more than one kind of narrative. There's the rags to riches. So that's a rise in happiness. There's the riches to rags. That's a fall in happiness. There's a so-called man in a hole where you have a fall and then a rise. And then you have the Icarus, rise, and then a fall. You have the Cinderella, rise, fall, and rise. And the Oedipus, the fall, the rise, and then the fall. Well, I don't want to overly complicate things, but you can see that there's a bunch of different narrative stories that you might map onto what you're doing. It really depends on how complex you want to be and how many twists and turns there are in your research story. Thanks for listening. You'll find handouts and references to where to links to find the article and the conversation on my website at wecanwrite.ca.